Basically, for those of you who were here last week, you know that we ended up having a bit of a healing meeting in the end. And we were just told to sort of, those of us who wanted healing, to stand up. So I stood up, thinking, well, my psoriasis, yeah, that could do with being dealt with. Irritation of the back of the kneecap, yeah, that could do with being dealt with. Okay, stand up. And I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he said to, sorry?
Peter.
Peter, he said, so while you're waiting for one of us to come round and pray for you, just thank the Lord for your healing in preparation. So I went, thank you, Lord, for putting my hips back in place. Hang on a minute. I'd even half forgotten that my hips were out of place. When I was about 12, 13, I pulled my neck muscle really badly, which pulled my shoulders, my back, my hips all completely out of place. Now, my uncle at the time was a chiropractor, so my dad took me up to see him, and he put my shoulders back in place and things like that. And he said, come back to me, because I can't sort the rest out, because it's going to make your neck muscle worse. So when it's here, when that's sorted out, come back to me and I'll put the rest of you back in place. Well, we never went back. And since then, so the last over 10 years, I've had wonky hips that if I put my thumbs on the top of my hips, they would be at different levels. And so on Sunday, I was praying, okay, thank you, God, for putting my hips back in place, and kept repeating it. And then I could physically feel God literally hitting my back, as it like a chiropractor does, and pushing the bones in the bottom of my back and my hips back into the right place. And I just stood there giggling, going, hang on, they're straight. It has meant this week I've had quite a bit of discomfort with my muscles readjusting to making me walk properly with them being straight. But it has meant that I've just gone, oh, my back, and then somebody's gone, why, what you done? I went, I can't actually complain, because this has happened, and it's been a really great sharing tool as well this week, which has been fantastic. So, yeah. Praise God.
Thank you. And how are you feeling now?
Okay.
Do you need more prayer? Oh, bless you. Stand on it. Stand in faith. Yeah, good. So, anyone else? Yeah, I just want to say, it's not just a nice little story, you know, that's actually affected Bethany's life. God can do real things. You know, sometimes we can hear people giving a testimony and we think, oh, that's nice. You know, oh, that's nice. But actually, it's miraculous. It's beyond what any of us can do. You know, and God's really touched Bethany, and it's exciting because he wants to look after us. He wants to care for us all. And as that word earlier, you know, he just wants us to open the door and let him. And we need to get excited when people do.
Not as dramatic healing as Beth, but it was. This happened on Thursday. Yes, it was Thursday, wasn't it? Yes, so on Wednesday I was at work, and I work in a bedding and duvet shop, and we've got these vinyl table coverings. If you know, these big rolls of vinyl table coverings, and they're on different shelving units. Well, they're on these sort of they attach onto hook things. Anyway, a customer came in. Needed something urgently, and they're quite heavy, and normally I'm quite strong, and I went and I'll use this arm, and I was really trying to push it up, and it got stuck, and I had to really heave it, didn't think anything of it. That evening, I started to get pain here, and I thought, gosh, that's painful, and by the end of the night and the following morning, I couldn't move it. I was in absolute agony. I went into work, I had to walk to work, couldn't ride my bike or anything, couldn't get dressed hardly, and I went in and my boss said, you know, you're all right, Jeanette. Actually, Rob, no, I'm not. And so I said, I can't move my arm. So I'm left-handed, and I was really sort of in pain and everything else, and I struggled through that. And went to house group, Tamsin had to pick me up, and we were doing healing. Well, we were talking about prayer and healing, weren't we, actually, and we're doing it practically. And so when I got there, I couldn't do anything, really, could I? So I was quite very, very limited. And I was prayed for. Praise God. By the end of the evening, I would say I had about, what would you say, movement? About 60, 70% movement. Keep praying for it. Following morning, I felt a lot better, got to work, was able to share, which I thought was really good with the Lord, that I was able to share with the people there. I had prayer last night, so I thought, you know, affirming you, Lord. And then now, praise God, because it's really quick that I can do, I couldn't do any of that at all. Just a tiny bit, as Beth says, a bit of soreness, but nothing. I mean, praise God, I can really use it. I can drive and everything. So just the Lord has healed that so quickly. So praise God.
Praise God. Yeah. In fact, it was so bad that Tamsin had to pick Jeanette up to bring her to house group because she couldn't drive. So, and then we got here this morning and Jeanette wasn't here and we thought, oh, should we have picked her up? Faith, you know. Okay, anyone else? No? Me yesterday. Oh, okay. Some of you might know that I suffer from a lot of headaches and things, and just recently I've sort of got into a pattern where I'll be fine in the evening, and then I'll go to bed, and when I wake up, I've a terrible headache when I wake up. Normally on a Saturday, you know, which is the sort of one day when I don't have things to do usually. Well, when I say that, I have all the things that you haven't managed to get done during the week because you're working and whatever. And it was exactly the same yesterday. I woke up quite early, wasn't it? Was it about 5 or something? With a splitting headache, congestion through the sinuses, and exactly the same pattern. And normally when I wake up like that, it will go on all day long till about 9 o'clock in the evening when it just about feels better. And then you really don't want to go back to bed because you don't want to wake up with a headache again. But yesterday morning, I was laid in bed with this headache, and I prayed, and I'm pretty sure Tamsin went downstairs and prayed as well. And it completely went. And was it 7:30? I was completely free of the headache, and I actually had a normal morning. I had a Saturday morning when I could do things because I wasn't sort of laid up with a headache. And so I went out and tidied the garage up and cut the grass and went mad, you know, did all the things I but yeah, that was a real blessing just to have a day with, you know, a weekend day with no headache. So praise God for that. And we really shouldn't be surprised when we ask him, should we? About Timothy as well. Would you like the microphone? Okay. Timothy, our eldest son, he's 24, almost 25. He's in Austria at the moment, working on a 6-month internship. And I wasn't aware of this, but over in Austria, you have inoculations against ticks, you know, the little things that bite you and cause Lyme fever, isn't it? Lyme disease. Anyway, he had one of these injections, and he's got all the symptoms of Lyme disease, which is really, again, split. Yeah, it was really severe. Because we went and looked up on the internet, and it says something like 3% of people react badly to the injection. And Timothy's one of the 3%. And it's severe headaches and tiredness and just generally feeling ill. My wife talks to my children more than I do.
Yeah, he was really, really ill. And Timothy doesn't get many headaches. And he said it was the worst headache he's ever had in his entire life. He was really frightened, I think. So we didn't really find out till quite late in the day that he was that ill. So we sent it around the prayer chain, and it was quite early after that he started feeling better, didn't he? And in the morning he was completely fine, completely normal. So thank you everybody for praying. But it was a total answer to prayer. Thank you.
I'll speak to Timothy as well, because he's a bit of a skeptic sometimes, isn't he? So, praise God. Anyone else? Yeah, otherwise I'm just standing here with a microphone.
ask the Lord.
Let it out. Do you understand?
To do it for us. No.
I was reading Luke 24 this morning, and it's where Jesus is walking with the two disciples. Well, I would you call them companions? I don't know. And he was walking along with them, and they were saying, "Well, don't you know what's been going on in Jerusalem? You know, Jesus was crucified, and now we've been told that he's risen again." And Jesus spent some time with them and said, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. There's a bit where it says... I've lost it now. "But he opened their minds that they might understand." And I can feel it now. I've just got this huge burden to ask the Lord to come upon each one of us and to open even more the scriptures to us. And I was listening to a CD this week that was sent to me from Yorkshire, and this lady was saying that a lot of our food is polluted these days, and water is no longer pure. It goes through lots of processes, and chlorine is added, etc., etc. And she was saying that quite a lot of books in the Christian bookshops now are no longer the pure word. And we have to be really careful. And that, you know, the word is not... We just have to be careful. And I just felt very strongly I wanted to ask the Lord to help each one of us to have a... I just want him to open us up even more to his word. And where maybe we've been feeding upon him... food that's contaminated, the word or the spirit within us is not quite pure, that he would sort that out for us. Does that make sense? And I just, Lord, this is just a passion within me that I cannot contain. I just so want you to come afresh upon each one of us and open our hearts and open our minds more and more to your word, as you did to those people as you walked along the road with them. Would you walk with us, Lord? Just give us fresh revelation. Thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you, Deva. That's really good. I struggled this week with what to speak on. And the Lord gave me a title, but he didn't give me anything to speak on. And that's really encouraging, because the title he gave me was Beyond the Cross. And I think really what he wanted to get across was that quite often... Don't start me laughing. Right, I think what he would like me to say is that quite often we focus on the cross. We focus on Jesus dying on the cross, and we center our lives about Jesus dying on the cross. But there's so much more to the gospel than Jesus dying on the cross. It's a very important part. I'll say that for the tape, just in case people come back to me later. But, you know, Jesus died on the cross to take away all of our sins, our infirmities. But at the cross, he died. And if we keep our lives focused on the cross and we stay at the cross, we're living in that moment of death and defeat. And he doesn't want us to live in death and defeat. He wants us to live beyond the cross. He went to the cross for us. He died for us so that we didn't have to go to the cross. You know, and when we mess things up, yeah, we can go back to the cross and put the stuff we've messed up. We can nail ourselves to the cross there. Yeah. And we can be free and released from it, because Jesus has died for all of that. But he doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to live beyond the cross, the victory that he lives in now, because he's no longer on the cross. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You know, and the Bible says we're seated there with him as well. And he reminded me of the story back in Kings, 2 Kings, when Jerusalem was under siege. And actually it talks about Samaria, but I believe Samaria was Jerusalem at the time. So you can correct me later if I'm wrong, but it's irrelevant to the story anyway. Basically, I'm not going to read it because there's quite a lot of it. Now you've all got your Bibles out. But basically the Arameans were laying siege to the city. And everybody in the city was dying of hunger. There was a famine in the city because they were under siege. And it got so bad that, I'm going to read this a little bit. As the king of Israel was passing on by the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord and king." And the king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son, so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son.'" You know, the famine was so great that they're talking about eating their children. She goes on, "So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so we may eat him.' But she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes." So the famine was so bad, you know, that they were willing to eat their own children. But the amazing part of the story is further down. This is 2 Kings 7, verse 3. "Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we die.'" So it's a sort of, you know, easy choice, really. Stay here and die, go into the city and die. Go over there and, well, we might die, but there's a chance. "So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there, for the Lord had caused them to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to each other, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us.' And basically they fled, and they left their camps exactly as they were. And these 4 men, who were lepers, they went into the camp. And everything was just as they'd left it. It was full of food and wine, and they had everything they needed. And as they were eating the food, they said to themselves, "What we're doing here isn't right. We need to go back to the city and tell the people who are starving that you know, there's all this food here, and they're not actually under siege." And the way the Lord spoke to me through this was that as a church, you know, we come to church on a Sunday and we have a great time and we meet with God. And then during the week, what do? We go to work and quite often we sort of forget about him. Or we get into a situation where somebody's got a problem and in church we would just say, "Let me pray about that." But we shrink back. And we don't do it. And why don't we do it? Why don't we pray for people? Why don't we take God outside with us? We're quite happy in the church. And it was the feeling I got was like we're under siege in the church. We keep God in here and we're quite happy to keep him in here. But when we go out there, you know, we have to be like they are in a way, you know, when in Rome sort of thing. And there's a fear in a lot of us. And it stops us from moving in the way God wants us to move. It stops us from bringing the kingdom of God into the world around us. And so, yeah, what I heard him saying that, you know, it's tied up with being focused on the cross and focused on his death on the cross. And he wants to emphasize this morning that when he died on the cross, he went down into hell. He went to meet the devil, and he won a great victory. Yeah, the gospel is the victory that he won. Having died on the cross, he defeated the enemy, and the Bible talks about him parading the devil and all his demons, as they used to do in the old days. When you won a victory, you'd parade all your prisoners to say, "Look, I've won. They're defeated." And it talks about Jesus doing that, and he's done that, and now he's risen, and he's in heaven. And in Ephesians, it talks about us being seated with him in the heavenly realms. And we don't need to feel like we're under siege. We don't need to feel like the devil has a victory over us in a way. You know, we can't do this because he's going to react. I mean, quite often we talk about the enemy, the devil, attacking us. And, you know, when we've got problems, we think, oh, that's an attack from the devil. Well, he's a defeated enemy. How can a defeated enemy attack us? Food for thought, isn't it? You know, I was talking about the headaches I get at the weekends. I'm sure that's an attack of the enemy. I've said it to people. But how can a defeated enemy attack us? Because we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms and we have victory over him. So, you know, sometimes we feel like we're under siege. We feel like the enemy's got the upper hand. We're not getting anywhere because the devil's standing against us. Or somebody outside is praying against us. There's witchcraft going on and things like that. These are all ploys of the enemy. But the truth is, he has no power over us apart from the power that we let him have. And I just think when we focus on the cross, we're focusing on the defeat. And we need to focus more on the victory, and we need to live in the victory. You know, thank God that Jesus died on the cross, because without that, there'll be no victory. But he did it 2,000 years ago. He did it, and it's done. And we need to walk in the victory. We need to live in the... It's the reason why he died for us. And if we don't live in that, it's like not accepting what he's done for us. We need to walk in that victory. I'm not saying it's easy, you know, living proof here. So, you know, how do we get there, really? How do we get from where we are? It was something Heather said just now made me think. When you were talking about the food being poisoned and the additives, yeah. and the scripture that came straight to mind was that we can drink deadly poison and not be harmed. But you see, you can hear something like that and say, oh, you know, there's an additive in this, I mustn't eat that. Or in my case, there's calories in this. But the truth is, we can eat deadly poison and not be harmed. Now, sometimes it's sensible not to eat, you know, something laced with arsenic or something. You know, there's a bit of common sense there. But the truth is, as it says in the Bible, we can eat deadly poison. We can trample on scorpions. We can be bitten by snakes. It says it in the Bible. It's there, and I believe it. I'm not going to rush out and test it. I'm going to fall back on thou shalt not test the Lord your God. But, you know, if it happens, we can stand on that word and say, this isn't going to affect me. And if the devil comes against us, we can stand on God's word and say, we're not going to let this affect us. And when we realize that we can live like that, then when we get into our work situation and somebody needs prayer, we're going to feel free to pray for them. without worrying about what everybody else thinks. Now, I'm talking from experience here. I'm not. There's nothing condemning here. It's all where I've been before. But you know, in Ephesians, where it says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, I think there's a key there that we need to grasp hold of, because when we're born again, when we accept Jesus into our life as Lord and Saviour, we're accepting that our life died with him on the cross and that we're raised again with him in his resurrection and his resurrection power. And yet we can choose to live in that old self that died on the cross. We can choose to be the way we used to be, you know, and eat deadly poison and die. Or we can choose to live in that resurrection life with Jesus, where we can do all the things he did and greater. And it was actually Chris Vallotton I heard talking, which really clarified it for me. When we're confronted with a problem, we can look at it from our perspective. And if the problem's caused by the devil, you know, you can think of it in layers. You know, mankind's on the earth, God and Jesus are up in heaven, and the devil's sort of somewhere in the middle, isn't he? Because he was cast down, and yet he's still more powerful than mankind. So he's sort of up here. And if he tries to afflict you with something, you can take a worldly point of view, a human point of view, a natural point of view, and you're looking up at him causing these problems. And you think, well, who am I to come against such a powerful being? Because no doubting the devil is powerful. I mean, he was an angel. But in Ephesians, it says we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. We're sat at the right hand of God, the Father, with Jesus. And we can choose, in that new creation that we become when we're born again, we can choose to take that perspective and look down on the devil. And then suddenly, the problem seems completely different. You know, when you're looking down and saying, well, who's he to try and do that to me? And when we realize that we can do that, we can take authority over him. We can take authority over the things of he's up to, sneaky little devil. In the right terms. We often say that to kids, don't we? But, you know, but we shouldn't. Words are powerful. But, you know, when we grasp that we're actually in the heavenly realms with Christ, that new creation part of us is seated with Christ, then we can take authority over all the schemes of the devil. And I believe that's how Jesus wants us to live. That's why he died on the cross, so that we didn't have to live down here looking up, but we can live up there looking down. And we need to get that inside, in our hearts and in our minds, so whenever we come across any situation, really, we're looking at it from God's perspective rather than from man's perspective. And I believe when we do that, we can escape the siege. And actually, when we go out into the enemy camp, we'll find that there's no danger there. There's no danger. You know, we can be scared of manifestations of demons and witchcraft and all this sort of stuff that can come against us. But actually, there's no danger there, because Jesus has the victory over all of that. That's all defeated. And it's only when we're looking up, we think, oh, this is scary. But, you know, you imagine being seated at the right hand of God the Father, and the devil comes along and says, oh, you're rubbish, you are. Well, who's the one sitting here, eh? You just have a completely different perspective. You know, oh, I can't, you know, somebody's got a broken arm. How can I help them there? Well, you know,
eat that.
You know, we've got God sat next to us. It shouldn't be a problem, should it? Jesus never had a problem healing people. And like those four lepers, when they went out into the camp, not only had the enemy gone, but all the spoils were left behind. So the town, Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem who were in famine were able to come out and have a feast because they said, hey, we found all this stuff, but we're just helping ourselves. This isn't right. We need to go back and tell everybody else. And that's the good news we need to be spreading with people. Yes, we need to tell them Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins, for the healing of their bodies. But beyond the cross, they can live in victory as we can. And once we get it, then we can share it. Yeah? And then when you've got such exciting news, how could you not share it with other people? You know, when the gospel is accompanied with signs and wonders, how can people deny it? Well, they can. We know they can. But you know, when we're living in that place, in the heavenly realms, when we accept who we are in Christ, we can look at things in a completely different way. And we can take what we know, what God's given us, out to the people around us. And that's, I believe, when God's kingdom is going to come to this place, all around. It's not just a thing for Sundays, not just a thing for church. You know, God loves everybody, doesn't it? It says his heart is that every man will be saved, and every woman as well. It just says. So, yeah, that's really what I wanted to share. It's right to focus on the cross at times. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. But it is done. He said himself, didn't he, on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. So let's not dwell there. As Heather said, when after he had risen, he walked along with the disciples and he opened their minds and he explained the scriptures to them. And I'm sure he enjoyed that a lot more. And he wants us to have fun as well. So, you know, when we know we can do these things, we can have fun doing them. Can't we? Yeah? That's what it's all about, really. God wants us, you know, we're his kids. He wants us to have fun. And if you've got a game, you buy a Christmas present for your kids and they haven't opened it, they're not going to have fun with it, are they? They're still going to sit there saying, oh, I really wanted such and such, when all the time it sat there in a box, all wrapped up. We've got to rip the paper off and get in there and open it and not be afraid to break it. Have fun with it.
Excuse me. I've had that song, old, really old song, going through my head. It's done, yes, it's done. It's done, yes, it's done. Through the precious blood of Jesus, the battle is won. I've had it going around my head all weekend, and you've just sort of, you just said it then. So does anybody know it? Anybody know that song? Do you know it? No.
You play it.
Oh, I don't know if I can play it.
Sing it.
Oh, dear. I was hoping somebody would know it. Anyway, yeah, that's like confirmed the words of that song. That the battle is won. It's done, yes, it's done. Yeah. Oh, I just feel we should sing it. It'd be so good to sing it as a declaration. It'd be really good.
I'll find it. I'll see if I can find it. Yeah. Could you think you could find your way around it or not? Heather's got the key in her pocket. Okay, well, whether you know it or not, you just reach out to God and say, Father, just give me a fresh revelation. In fact, shall I pray first? Yeah. Yeah. Father, today we accept that we are seated with you in the heavenly realms. We are alive in Christ. Our old self is dead. Our new self, our new creation is alive with Christ. And Lord, we can do all the things that you did and more because you sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. And Father, just to clarify, it's not us doing it. but we can do it in your name. And Lord, we just ask you to make that a fresh revelation to us, make it a reality in our lives. Lord, the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. You defeated him 2,000 years ago, and he has no authority over your children. In Jesus' name, we claim our freedom from him. We break any chains that he's put on this church and on the people here. In Jesus' name, we tell him to go. We draw a line in the sand today, Father, and we say, today, afresh, this church is yours. The devil has no authority here. He has no power. And we tell him to leave now, in Jesus' name. Leave this place. Leave everybody who comes to Oasis. Leave all your children in Whitney, Father. We claim them back for you. Father, send your Holy Spirit. Let your kingdom come. Father, we want to see your kingdom come in this place in a bigger, more powerful way than ever before. Father, we know you want to see people set free, and we want to see people set free. And we accept this morning, that Jesus did it all at the cross, and it is done. It is done. In Jesus' name.